Right, who can hear who? Right, can anyone hear me?
Yep, I can.
Kev, you're muted. Kevin, looks like you're muted.
There you are.
Yeah, I could hear you.
Right, Kev.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, can you hear me now?
I could always hear you.
Yeah, we couldn't hear you. You're muted. I think Sophie's gone. I may have to just continue the show because we're live, although I don't know how she's going to stop it.
I can't see anybody. But it don't matter.
I can see you and I can see Mike.
I can't see anybody on my screen.
What's going on then?
Hold on. Let me come out and jump back in. One sec.
It's just us, Amanda.
Hi, Mike. And we're live.
How are you? That's right.
Yeah, I'm okay. But the thing is, we're live. So I think I'm just going to have to do a little show. Right, hold on one moment. Hold on. Wait there, Mike.
I'm fine. I'm here.
Just wait there.
So is it just me now? I'll take some questions if you want to hit me up with something while we're waiting. Well, first of all, can anybody hear me? Am I, like, I don't know.
Mike, I'm here.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what's going on. I know we're live, so I'm going to have to do something. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant.
We're having major issues. I was okay until this started playing up. And I'm so sorry for everyone in chat because Sophie's supposed to be hosting the show. I don't know what we're going to do. But anyway, Mike, let's have a chat. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Amanda?
First of all, let me introduce you to Michael. Is you are my Arsenal, although it looks like you've just frozen. No, you're still here. I do apologize to everyone. As you can see, Kev and Soph are having internet issues, I'm assuming. Right. So let's just have a chat, Mike. I haven't spoken to you for ages. Let's chat. Sorry, darling.
It's been a while.
I know, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm running the show.
It's all right.
I apologize to everyone. We're having terrible internet issues going on here. So, Mike.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's looking like Sophie may be joining us. Anyway, let her try and connect. So, okay. Mike.
All right. Hold on. I got it. Where was that question? Pineapple on a pizza, yes or no? No.
Absolutely, yes. Pineapples belong on pizza. Oh, wow. Here she is.
There she is.
Can you hear me?
Yep,
we are live. What she's going to do. She's trying her best, everyone. She really is. She's trying her best to host this show because she knows I can't do it. Anyway, Mike, listen, just before we try and get Sophie on, let's talk about this season, yeah? Let's have your thoughts because everyone wants to put their two penneth worth in. Do you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know if it was an English saying. Welcome to this show, and I'm so sorry it's like this today. I really am.
It's all right.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Soph.
What?
I don't know what's going on. There's been
not really
a technology breakdown here, big time.
Oh boy.
Right, so we can hear you, but your picture's not great. So I'm just asking
that's
Mike.
Fine.
Yeah, now
no, there
stay
she's
there.
Here.
Oh, no, you're there. You're fine.
Where's KC?
I don't know. Just we're live. We need to just carry on. So I just welcome Mike to the show from You Are My Arsenal. You are my Arsenal.
That's right.
So here comes KC.
Oh, they're all here now. There we go.
I've been backstage waiting. I know it's terrible.
Oh,
let's get on.
Oh, I just think we need to carry on. I'm so sorry to everyone because anyone can hear my voice. Right. Hello, Casey. Michael, again, welcome to the show. I'm so sorry to everyone because now I'm going to have to host it because she's frozen again. So introduce yourself. Tell everybody, actually, how you got to support Arsenal.
I'm older than dirt. Back in the late 80s, I was stationed. I'm a U.S. Navy veteran, and my football, I played soccer here in the U.S. I played for a guy named Antonio Gimbuzzi. He's from Italy, right off the boat, but I wasn't that good. So after school, I joined the Navy, and after boot camp and getting deployed, my first deployment was Naples, Italy. So my first foray into European soccer was actually watching Maradona's Napoli play. I lived in Naples, and I just remember that city was insane. It was insane in the late 80s. We were out on town one night, and a bunch of us got caught in a crowd as they were going to serenade his home. It was just amazing. But the other part of that is I was attached to a Department of the Navy called Cincus Navier, Commander-in-Chief U.S. Naval Forces Europe, who is also headquartered in London. And that's how I got introduced to Arsenal, was through that, through serving with, since it's a NATO posting, I served with a lot of Royal Navy guys up there, and they just introduced me to the game, and
how many years ago, Mike, was that?
89 was my first foray into football. I started in Naples in 89, February of 89. I was deployed into Naples. So it's been 30 some years.
It's a good year, Mike. It's a good year. 89 was a good year.
Very good year to come in.
And that was it. I thought Arsenal won the title. I thought that's the team you have to support. They win titles. That's who you support. And also I was a right back, and I played right back. I was fast, strong. I couldn't cross the ball, but I was just very hard to beat. And I took the Lee Dixon as a player. And then through being stationed in Europe, and then just kind of, you can get like, used to be able to buy a paper version every other week of the Daily Mail here in the US. And I used to get that, and that's how I got it. There were pubs in Philadelphia, which I live near, that you could see games. And it was usually the bigger name teams. Arsenal was shown there. Celtic was there, because I live in an area of Pennsylvania that is a large expat, Scots, Irish, English. I mean, the town right over, the club that I'm the president of is called Buckingham. That should tell you everything you need to know about the area that I'm at. I'm the president of a local club. I'm also I'm a licensed U.S. soccer coach. And the game, and I love the game. And that's kind of like, as I've gotten older, I'm still a fan, but I tend to watch the game more or less now as a coach. Mm. And that kind of also tends to temper my judgment. Yes, the emotional side comes from it, but I do tend to look at things as a coach and how I would approach that? And what I'm trying to think of, what is a coach really going through at this point? Which kind of segues us into this.
Yeah. So then let's talk about
you asked a good question. Yeah, Princess. Yeah. You asked him a good question before. Let's hear it again.
What did I ask? I can't remember. I'm trying to keep the show going at the moment.
About Mike's, what Mike thinks about Arsenal.
Yeah. So as you've been a coach, Mike, what do you reckon on our coach? How do you feel he's coping with what's going on at the moment? Because we know what's coming up Sunday. And if we're toxic the last couple of weeks, if we lose and lose badly to... Oh, I don't know what's going on. All right. If we lose and lose badly to that lot, how do you think that he's going to cope, Arteta?
Look, I wouldn't question on how he's going to cope, because I think he's extremely confident in who he is as a coach. I mean, that much comes across on him when you listen to him talk. I think it's more how do the fans cope if we lose bad. It's not so much how he copes. Look, my general view of this team was the same view.
Sorry, Mike. I meant how does he cope with the toxic fans, because they're going to be toxic.
Look, you know, here's the thing as a coach. I deal with this on the youth level from parents. And if you ever dealt with U.S. competitive parents, it's insane. But it's you have to kind of trust yourself. You've got to put a silo and say, I have a process that I'm doing. I've got to deal with that. And you've got to operate in a silo. You can't listen to that noise of the fans, or you're going to second guess every decision you make.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Do you have feedback, Casey? Is that what's happening?
No, darling. It's the traffic in the background. I think we hear cars going by.
Yeah.
So when Mike's talking, just mute your phone. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I just want to say, everyone, I'm so sorry. I'm having the worst technology meltdown in the history of the world, and I apologize sincerely. So
Don't worry. I'm gonna put myself
on mute here and carry on. I did have an agenda for the show, but
go for it.
Why don't you type us the agenda and I'll read it? Because we can hear all the background. It's quite funny. Sorry, go on, Mike. So you were talking about
I don't think Arteta can pay attention to the noise that's going on. This was never going to be an easy job. The issues that we have aren't issues that suddenly appeared in the last 4 months. These are issues that have been here. And look, and I know we all love Arsene Wenger and what he did for Arsenal, but those issues started. I mean, some people argue they started 10 years ago, but I'll be fair and say a lot of the issues, the decline in technical quality that I see, they started about 2 years towards the end of his tenure. You know, the technical quality just seemed to leave the club and it continued. And look, Unai Emery, I think, exacerbated it because of his approach. I think Arteta's first approach in trying to reestablish the culture of who Arsenal are is the right approach. But that's stuff that's happening that maybe we as fans can't see on the outside. It's stuff culturally that's got to change on the inside. And then it will start to permeate through as we start to bring new players in, jettison old players, and make tough decisions around players that we may all love, but that just don't serve the purpose anymore.
But aren't you guys sick and tired of the same old excuses all the time? Time and time again, the end of the Wenger era, the beginning of the Emery era, the middle of the Emery era, the end of the Emery era. We keep blaming players. It's all their fault. But when they win the FA Cup, we laud them. When they beat Man United in the Premier League, we laud them. When they beat Liverpool in the Premier League, we laud them. And we see hope and we all get super excited. And we're all kind of like the victims of the moment.
Yeah, but that's what fans do. Fans are victims of the moment. But the reality is, we won the FA Cup. But those were all false dawns. Those weren't reality of the situation. If you looked at that if you looked at us during the restart, if you looked at us during the restart, we were doing well, but the reality is we still weren't creating a lot of chances. We weren't moving the ball as fluidly as we wanted. And I think, and I was discussing this with somebody today, I think Arteta realized that the talent that he has isn't available to play the soccer that he wants to play, the football that he wants to play, but it is available to play a counter-attacking style. The problem is that, let's take this past weekend, we just didn't get on top of Wolves at all. We sat back and tried to play counter-attacking when that second half, if we had really tried to take that game by the scruff, maybe it's a different outcome, or maybe there's a different, you know, thing, you know, maybe if we got on the front foot more. But I don't know that anybody realistically thought that the FA Cup, the wins over Liverpool, Manchester United, changed any of the issues and problems that we've had in the past few years.
The thing is, though, Soph sees it as excuses, and we, Kevin and I, see it as just it is what's been left from that era. So I sort of agree with you, Mike, on that. We've had the same conversation.
Let me add, there are excuses being made on certain levels. There are certain things, but I agree with you and Kev that I really think that a lot of the problems still haven't been resolved.
No.
Kev, you're on mute.
Hey, see, you're mute.
Sophie. Hi, Mike. Yep. What I see, Mike, and I want you to comment on this. People are talking about Arteta's lost the dressing room, which to me, no chance. He's not lost the dressing room. What I actually see are things that are coming out from people connected to the club or the fan base that the fan base are feeding on because we're not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the fight between David Luiz and Ceballos. Now, these things happen in every football club. There is nothing new about that.
Right.
But it's been used as a lever to say Arteta isn't doing this and it's unsettling the team and all this crap, when these things happen at every club.
Right.
What's your thoughts on it?
I agree with you, Kev. I mean, look, the in any professional organization, sports, you know, those kind of things happen. You know, in your office, some people that work in an office will have professional disagreements where they may yell at a coworker, right? Well, that's no different than two players on a practice pitch. Look, in my high school squad, I coach a high school level team here in the U.S. as well. And I challenge my players to be physical with each other because that's what they're going to get when they get out on the field, because high school soccer here in the U.S. is notoriously physical. And I challenge my players, if you don't play physical, you're going to get bossed around on the pitch. And sometimes when you play physical, a certain player may be overly aggressive in the moment. And that happens. And you know what? As a coach, I actually want to see some of that passion. I hope some of that passion and aggressiveness translates over into the game. And so the stuff that you're talking about, Kev, the argy-bargy stuff that happens at training is not normal. And you're right. It's amplified because things aren't going well right now. If we had won on Sunday, or if we had won any one of those other matches, that incident between Luiz and Ceballos never makes it as a headline, because that just typically happens. So it's the stuff. It's when things are bad, and as we live in this media, in this environment of 24/7 social media news, where everything is amplified, a bust up in training between Ceballos and Luiz suddenly becomes a major headline.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, Mike, this goes on in every club, in everything, and it's really not a big deal. It's just not a big deal what goes on in training. I'm sure, Kev, was there loads of things that went on training that we didn't know about?
100%. Yeah. Of course.
And I know you didn't have social media, Kev, but even so, it's ridiculous. I don't care if it happens or not, as long as they're decent on the pitch.
Well, do you know what, Amanda? And this is what I will say. The fact that there are fights show that these players do care.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
They do care because it will be easy to just toss it off. Oh, you know, it's nice and simple, nice and easy training. No. Our problem is the mental side of the game has changed at the football club. Right. We are not the same Arsenal that we once were. And this is very difficult for people to get a grasp of. We are not. Three managers can't be wrong who dropped Mesut Ozil. Three managers can't be wrong. So therefore, and I'm just using that as a lever to say this. The reason why they dropped Mesut Ozil is because the mentality isn't right. Not that he doesn't have the talent. We all know Mesut Ozil is probably the most gifted player at the football club.
Mm.
But talent isn't enough. The team are talented. On paper, if the game was played on paper, Arsenal would be winning a lot of these games. But right. Unfortunately, the game isn't played on paper. It's played by men on a football pitch. And they are the mentality and the will to win is missing.
Right.
And that's, for me, that is the truth. What's your thoughts, Mike, on that?
Well, look, I'll dive. Sophie and I have gone back and forth on Mesut Ozil. And look, let me first say, I agree. He is probably still singularly, when he's on his day, the most talented player of the last few years that we've had. The problem is, as a coach, I'm coming in and I'm trying to establish a culture. I'm trying to get players to stop being about themselves and start being about the team. I've got to set some examples. And if I have a player that's not cutting, it doesn't matter who you are, I've got to cuddle. And look, let's go back to one of the criticisms that was always leveled at Arsene Wenger was that maybe he coddled the players too much right when they needed to be. And so I agree with how the Mesut Ozil situation, and I say this as a player who, as a guy who's loved Mesut Ozil back to his days in Germany, it just and the blonde and black hair going all the way down here. If he's not going to cut it in training for us and give the manager what he needs, then we don't need him. Now that being said, we're not creating any chances. But I don't think Arteta can go back on this. If he does that, he loses any credibility with the players that he's trying to establish a culture with. And let's be real. Players like Mesut Ozil, Pierre Aubameyang, they're not where the players that we should be relying on. We've got to start relying on these 20-something kids to develop and come up. Gabriel is the perfect example. He's what? I'm going to say someone will shoot me for this. I'm not sure. I thought he was 22, 23 around there. But that's the kind of player you build a club around. Somebody who's got 5 years of really supremely strongly talented time, not some guy who's not Mesut Ozil, who we all love. And that 19 assist season, God, that was a great year for him. But the time has passed. We have to rebuild this team to get us back to being the Arsenal that we want to be. And we're not close. We're not close. We added two good players this summer. We've got some young, promising talent, but we're still very far away from having all the players that we need. And frankly, I'll be honest with you. I want to jettison the whole front five from this past weekend. And I said this, and I think this is what led Sophie to asking me to be on. I said, I think we made a mistake in re-signing Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And I think that's what Sophie saw that and saw me put that out there. And she's like, hey, come on the show and discuss this. And I'm like, I'm more than ready to talk about this. And I say this also as a guy who understands, you don't want to just naturally jettison 25 goals a season. But I say this we saddled ourselves to a guy who's at the end of his career with a 3-year deal at, what, $250,000 a week, right? when that, if we could have found a buyer for him in the summer when we were just coming up short on funds for a creative player like our, I can never say it, our, I'll never say his name correctly in my life.
When we,
Usain, his name is pronounced Usain Awa.
Oh, Awa. She's back.
There we go. So I think if we could have sold him for those additional funds to bring him in, that solves some problems. But we're going to have, we're in a time frame for the next year or so where unpopular decisions have to be made, like Ozil, like selling names. And I fully expect the one signing, one player, two players I expect to go out in January are probably Lacazette and probably Maitland-Niles. I expect that those will be two departures, and I don't think people will be happy about that. Maybe on the Lacazette they'll be fine with, but on the AMN, I don't expect people to be happy, but he's got value right now.
Okay, so hi, I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me. Okay, hello everyone. I'm so sorry about that. It seems like aliens descended on Southern California this afternoon and completely ate wires and whatever it takes to build technology and broadcast. So let me jump in here because Kay Marlon has the question I've been asking KC, and I'd love your take on it too, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
How do you galvanize a team to win an FA Cup final and beat City along the way? And you can't galvanize them or manage them to beat Aston Villa, Leicester, Wolves in a league game.
Should I go first?
I've answered it about 20 times.
Do you want to move
because
up front
it's not
in front
the
of
same
Casey?
Time. It's months and months later.
Here's the way I'll look at it. It's really easy for me to get a team up for a final. It's a final, right? The natural course of a season is 39 games of league play, 10 games of league cup play, another 20 games for Europe. You have to manage a season, and there's going to be ups and downs in the season. It's naturally instinctive, I think, for players to motivate themselves for that. And look, on some level, you have to – some of that has to fall back on the players, not just the manager. The players have to actually say, I've got to be prepared for the week in, week out slog of a season, rather than, hey, I've got a final to play. I'm ready to go. Let's go. It's got to be, I've got a season. And look, again, I'm going to look right back at our captain this past weekend. And I'm sorry. If people want to criticize Mesut Ozil for his body language, then you should be really criticizing Aubameyang for his body language this past weekend. When he doesn't get a ball passed into him, he goes on, puts on a tantrum, a little strop, you know. He's our captain, and we need that captain to lead by example. And he's got to be ready to play every game for 90 minutes. And that's, the players have to step up themselves. Yes, Michael Arteta can get them ready for the game. He can prepare them in training. But once they step out on the pitch, the responsibility for performance goes to the players. I do it every week. I tell my players this. I say, look, my job is to have you prepared. We go over film. We look at our opponents. We look at ourselves. I say to them, I do my training sessions. What are we focusing on? What was the weakness last week that I have to fix this week? And I'll bring that into my training sessions, right? And then it's game day, and I say, okay, these are the three things I want you to focus in on, or the four. I always focus in on three things. I don't know what I'm sure a professional coach does way more than what I do. I really try and get, you know, 3 points across to my players and say, go out there and execute. And if they don't execute, then, you know, then it's the next training. It's A, as I sub players in, I'll talk to my players about what they did wrong in that moment. A manager can get the players to a certain point on game day, but once you're into that 90-minute time frame, that's the players. It's the players executing the game plan, executing. It's the movement off of the ball. It's the six dropping into space to receive the ball from the center backs to act as a pivot and break the press, right, that we see. One of the things that drives me crazy about Arsenal right now is there's nobody, like, as we're trying to play out of the back, there's no midfield support for playing out of the back, which forces us to play out wide. And I'm sure, knowing the how Arteta wants to play, I'm sure he's trying to get somebody to drop.
Michael, let me interrupt.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Arsenal fans are asking, and that's a, I appreciate your response in terms of cup games, they're one-off games. But, you know, when you look at some of the progress some other teams are making, West Ham are fifth in the Premier League, with some people would argue half a talented side that we have. Wolves beat us. You have other teams that are doing well and performing well under certain managers. Aubameyang has been absolute crap since signing his new contract. This is the truth. Why is Lacazette the scapegoat? Why is Lacazette being subbed? Why is he being made to feel like he's the one who's responsible for our lackluster prowess going forward? Saka and Tierney have regressed over the last two or three games. This isn't just about players. I have to motivate my team at work every single day. We all have to be motivated by a manager or someone who is in charge of us. And something's not quite right, whether we talk about a 4-3-3 or a 3-4-3 or 4-2-3-1, something isn't right. And people want to criticize Emery. And yet Emery went on a 22 unbeaten game run.
No, stop, stop. That 22 game unbeaten run was a fallacy. Because if you looked at all the metrics related to that run, A, we almost never scored or got into the lead until the second half of every game because he had to go back. And you know what? Almost every game he had to make adjustment at a second half, basically saying, I got it wrong to start the game. Right. And how many of those games did we shut out completely? We didn't. That. And then what happened as soon as we lost
76 goals for Emery versus 53 for Arteta under the same amount of games.
Here's the
Michael,
thing I'm saying.
I would say whether it's a fallacy or not.
22
it's
still 22.
There are 22 games that we got unbeaten for. Whether it's a fallacy, doesn't matter. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
but,
and they still did it, didn't they, PG?
Yeah, it's still a fact that we went 22 games unbeaten now. What I would say
And he still got sacked.
Yeah, exactly. But what I would say, Michael,
what are you
I want
talking
you to
about?
No, hold on a second.
Everyone wanted him out.
KC, I didn't want him out to the end, and you know that because
no,
I got...
That's what I'm saying.
With Wenger. I don't want Arteta out at all. This is not his fault. This is the leftovers of what's gone on. But Michael, I want to ask you a question. And this is purely about Aubameyang, who I adore to pieces. Don't get me wrong, I do. But why the hell has Lacazette been dropped when Aubameyang isn't doing anything? Now, you can go on about chances from midfield. You can do all this, but he has chances in front of goal and he's not scored. Now, this is not me hating on Aubameyang. Please understand that. I think I'm thrilled he signed for us. Okay, fair enough. I am, and I think he's going through a bad patch. And yes, I do understand and players need to be supported, but Lacazette's not supported, and I think Lacazette offers more at the moment. But my point is this. I'm going to ask you, Michael, as a football coach, how do you change this? How do you get Aubameyang scoring again?
Well, first of all, a couple things is now you're kind of delving a little bit into the whole idea of sports psychology. But let me first say that I would actually bench both of them because I think they've both not been that great, you know. I would start like an Nketiah up top because that's how you get them. To me, part of when I have a player that's not performing, I bench them. I give them a little bit of time to try and figure it out. But then, in youth sports all the time. I'll take the goalkeeper position because that's the position my son plays. If he's getting lit up because we had a game where it was not a good day for him. It was not a good day for the back four in front of him. And I took him out at halftime because I'm like, it's in his head. He can't get out of this moment right now. Right. To me, the equivalent at the pro level is, you let them play for a little bit, and if they're not getting it, then you bench them for a game, and you put somebody on who's a hungrier younger threat, and not
yeah, hungrier.
Not to say that Nketch is going to be the guy who replaces either of those guys. It's to say maybe you just need a little bit of time to refocus your head. And then what it really is about, let's take Aubameyang. For me, it's just get a shot on frame. Get a shot on frame. When you get a shot on frame, then you get a goal, right? It's that natural progression. In sports psychology, they talk – I'm good friends with a sports psychologist here in the U.S., and she was trying to help me out with a couple players that were having a rut, and she told me she worked with professional baseball players, and they always talked about that first hit, getting that first hit to get out of a rut. And for a soccer player, for a goalkeeper, it's the first save. For maybe a midfielder, it's that first successful through ball or pass. For Aubameyang and for Lacazette, it's got to be that first shot on goal, getting it on target, making the goalkeeper make a hard save. Because then you're like, okay, I remember this. This feels good to me. And now I'm going to go, because I got to be honest with you, watching Aubameyang shoot this past weekend was awful. He was leaning back. He was yanking at it. Whatever he did, it was did not look like somebody who had his touch about him. And at some level, I think the manager has to say, you know what? Maybe he just needs a rest. Maybe he and not a rest from say a Europa League game. Let me take him out of a Premier League game. Now you say that and he's like, you can't seriously be talking about taking him out of like a North London derby. No, you probably can't. But that's what you do. That's to me how you get them out of it. I don't know how other people feel about it, but I say you let them see the game a little bit and you let them sit down and go over it, and then you put them back in. That's the only thing I can think of. And again, the pro level coaches have way more responsibility and more things to think about than I will ever have in my coaching lifetime.
Can I just say something? Why can't you drop him for Tottenham?
Because
he's not scoring goals.
No, you're right, but
for what? He's not scoring, so
no one is.
No one's scoring.
That's well, hold not- on, but then put someone in from put someone in up front that possibly could.
But who's who it is right now?
Maybe one of the kids that don't need to play Thursday night.
Throw in. We're gonna, we need to be someone. A hero.
We need someone who's going to be well, just about to use that word, a hero up front. We need. Mike, everyone knows how important Sunday is to us for so many reasons, yeah. Let alone confidence and points in the league. This is it. They must be licking their lips, Tottenham, honestly, for Sunday, because this could be the United 8-2 all over again, and I'm never resurfacing.
It's not it. It's come not on. It.
It could come
on. Why are you missing them? Why are you just missing that?
Why? Because here's where I will give. Here's where I will give. Well, let's hold on. Let me say, let's give Arteta credit on one thing. We're not getting overrun in games. We're not getting overrun defensively. Our defenders are not out of position. Somebody showed a clip the other day of Arsenal under Emery, and the defenders were just all over the place. That's not happened to us, right? Yes, there have been errors. Like the first goal on Sunday was an error on just so many different levels. But the positional errors that we had that opened us up under Emery haven't happened under Arteta. And I think that's good for us. So I don't. Can we still lose a game? Yes, we can. But we're not going to get blown out 8-2. I just don't see that happening.
Okay, but I wouldn't mind putting Balogun up front. Putting someone hungry is just going to go for it, because Aubameyang has got no confidence. I feel with players, and Kev obviously can talk about this being an ex-player, you don't just drop a player when they're playing badly one or two games. We've had about seven or eight. So how long do you go for? And he shouldn't be captain, not because of his performance, because he's not a captain.
Yeah, so, but Princess, whether you think he should be captain or not, he is the captain. So it's regardless of whether you think he should be or not, he is. Let's look at the facts. He is the captain. He's the most prolific striker we have at the club at the moment. Arteta doesn't trust Balogun. He doesn't. Not yet, anyway. Balogun will probably play in the Europa League.
Yeah, he will.
And if he does well, who knows? He might get a little slot on the bench. you don't know, but he's going to go with his tried and tested, because this is what the North London Derby needs. It needs tried and tested.
Awful. The tried and tested who are awful.
Yeah, we know they've been awful, Sophie. We know they've been awful. But you know what? Let me just tell you this. You go with the kids against this Spurs team, then, Princess,
look,
you're asking for trouble.
Right.
I'm not asking for all the kids. Just a few.
I'm saying you're asking for trouble.
Look, we're in a lot of trouble as it is. If we expect that our heroes are our kids. Now, we've got some promising kids, right? We do. Saka and ESR are going to be probably two of the best talents to come out of our academy in a long time. But if we have to depend on them to save our bacon, then we have bigger issues to go on. And look, we have big issues as it is, but I think that's part of our problem. And Arteta, there was an interview Arteta just did for, is it DAZN? D-A-Z-N, whatever they call
DAZN,
that.
DAZN, yeah, they call it DAZN, yeah.
And he said, look, I've got five or six issues on the field right now. He basically said that. I've got four or five players that are an issue right now. And I think he was, in that interview, I think he's essentially saying my front five suck and they're not performing. And
I mean, the same front five, barring one that scored 78 goals under the same amount of games Unai Emery had to play in the Premier League.
Yeah. Those same players. Those same players, Sophie.
Yeah, why?
Sophie, the problem is, the problem isn't the talent. The problem's here.
No, he's the problem because he set up the defence where he set it up to the point where the midfield cannot control the game.
No.
There's a gap between the defence and the midfield. Against Sheffield United, against Fulham, we set up a certain way. In the last couple of games, he set up in a different way where we've been exposed and the midfield cannot control the game or have any impact at all in terms of possession or anything.
Hold on, come on, you guys. There's two things to unpack there. First of all,
the players are shit, but the manager's got to be accountable somehow here how he sets them up.
Hold on. There's two things to unpack here. The first is our midfield's shit regardless. The only midfield player we have right now worth a salt is Partey, and he's injured for probably until January, right? That midfield needs to be the one big miss, and this is why I was in favor of selling Aubameyang this summer, was we don't have the create. So let's say Partey's healthy, right? He gets the ball. If you look, there's a gap between the front three and him. There's no connectivity between them at all. So the ball is then sprayed out wide, and that's easy to defend against, right? So we're missing that connectivity from that midfield to the forwards. That's the one issue. Our midfield, we just don't have the midfield talent. And the only midfield player I would keep right now in this squad is Partey. Everybody else is up, subject for sale.
He's out for two months, Mike. So what are we going to do? Look at the games we've got coming up in December.
You do. Okay, so your next fix is – so here's the thing. As a manager, you start looking at, okay, I've got injuries and the players I have. So I have to maybe sacrifice the way I want to play – to play the way that makes sense. And I think, and whether it's right or wrong, I think Arteta looked at the talent he has and said, you know what? The talent I have is better suited to be out wide counterattacking soccer football, right?
It's amazing why this guy's so protected. I don't understand it. He's not protecting.
It's not protection. You're asking a question. If you ask a question, why can't Mike tell you his opinion? Without you saying, why is Arteta protected? He's only giving his opinion, just like I give my opinion.
I give a response to the opinion.
I'm saying, you've already said he's protected.
No, I haven't. I just said that now.
I'm saying you've already said he's protected.
I haven't, actually. I've not said he's protected ever.
No, not today, but you've said it before. So I'm saying, you ask Mike, let Mike say what he's got to say. But he's not protecting Arteta. He's giving his opinion.
Here's what I'll say. Where should there be criticism for Arteta? I think he's on one level. You remember when he came in, he talked about his non-negotiables and whatnot. I think he sacrificed his non-negotiables a little bit because he looked at his talent and said, I just don't have the players available. And I'm like, you know what? If you're going to come out and talk non-negotiables, stick to your guns and challenge your players. And I think somebody's saying, hey, stick AMN in the midfield. I'm all for that. But at this point, make hard decisions now, right? What can't be any worse than it is right now. I mean, it's pretty bad. At this point right now, you've got to make substantial decisions about what you want to do. And I think that's where I'll criticize him. I'm not 100% convinced that he stuck to his guns on what he wants to do. I still believe that he's a young, talented manager who here's the other thing. Actually, let me kind of digress. The bigger issue I have is we have two people that are essentially novices in two leadership roles in our club, in Edu and Arteta, right? During one of its most transformative time periods ever. I would feel a little bit more secure with a more seasoned hand above Arteta, say a Sven or say a Ralf Rangnick, in that technical director who could say to him and guide the club. Because to me, the technical director now is the guy steering the ship. And I just feel that we have two guys in these two important roles that are still relatively new to what they're doing.
Michael, the issue is this, and whether we like it or not, we have to get some truth going. In the summer, Arteta wanted to move players on.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't move players on because the players, one, wouldn't go, and two, nobody wanted them.
Right. I agree with that. Look, a lot of my patience with Arteta is tempered by the fact that the season was halted with 3 months to go for 3 months effectively. And this transfer window, which was supposed to be a big transformative transfer window, was stunted by lack of funds due to COVID. And the fact that we had players that we couldn't offload. And that's not his fault. The players like Mustafi, Socrates, and other players that we wanted to get out, we couldn't get out because, hey, look, if I'm Mustafi, said I got a year left, I don't have to go. I'll get a better deal next year when I go. So and Socrates was what, a candidate for Napoli, but I guess for whatever reason they either didn't sign him or they couldn't agree on a contract, so that deal fell apart. That you can't place that blame on Arteta. We don't have the players, so I'm at this point. This is where I am with Arteta. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because we're not even a third way through the overhaul of this squad that needs to happen. And look, people are like, oh, bring Mourinho in. I'm sorry. Even Mourinho couldn't get these guys to play because the squad is just was awfully built. The contracts were restrictive. I mean, I know you had to save one of Alexis or Ozil, but $350,000 a week for a player, I mean, that killed us. It killed us. And we're doing it again with Aubameyang. We're killing ourselves with that contract with him too. So I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? We've got to get to next summer's transfer window. And if we start out next season like we did this season, if it continues, then yeah, you have to make a change. But at this point right now, we've got to see what happens in January. And I do think that this January is going to be unlike a January we've seen for Arsenal. I'm not saying we're going to bring in five players, but I don't think we're going to wait till January 30th to get players in. I think we make moves. I do think we get in a creative player, whether it's Buendia, the guy's name that I could never pronounce.
Slubberslide.
Yes, him. I'm no good with them.
I'm not good either.
Yeah, we just learned how to pronounce Upamecano, and that faded away. So give us a minute. And then we just got round to Usam Aouar, which we literally perfected 2 weeks ago with the help of Matt Spiro, our French football expert. So thank you, Mike. I think KC maybe helped you out there and hit the nail on the head.
that's where I am. I want to see what happens in January. I want to see what happens in the summer. Somebody just said Arteta's not a magician. The flaws to this team were monumental. And yes, maybe we rode our luck through the first part of the Emery era. But let's not forget, after that 22-game unbeaten run, we were stinking up the place. And it was only after he acquiesced in January to bring in Ramsey and Ozil did we change that trajectory. And then after Ramsey went and injured, we weren't any good anymore. And that carried over in the next season. And frankly, I would have sacked Emery after failing to get 1 point from three matches that you needed to get European. And then the way he managed that final in Baku, I'm sorry, to me, those were the things that he should have gotten sacked for, not the run up to November. And frankly, if you were then if you keep him, then you fire him before after the Leicester 2-0 loss, and you had 2 weeks to bring in a new manager. You know, I just think we're just what we're seeing to me is always has been the just years of neglect in poor team construction. And as much as I love Arsene Wenger, his being behind the times by the time he had to leave. And I love the guy, but the game had passed him by. The game had passed him by at that point.
Let me get you guys answered on some of these questions, because there's some really good ones coming up. Can you explain what the process is? What is the process? Because Pochettino's version of this was the project at Spurs. There was a project. And he got sacked before the project ended up in them winning a trophy. He did get them to a Champions League final, of course, and they definitely did and held a top four spot in the Premier League, but he was sacked before he could win anything. So what is our trust the process about?
Do you want me to go, Mike?
Yeah, go.
Look, the process is this. What is the goal? You've got to have a goal set. And every step towards that goal is the process. That is it. It's nothing fancy that anybody else wants to put bells and whistles on it. You have to have a target. If we say, right, we want to win the Premier League, then we look at all the steps that we're going to need to win the Premier League. And we're going to deal with this tomorrow, a lot of the thing in the truth, Arsenal and the truth, Sophie. Because when the process we've had since Arsene Wenger's been at the club to now has been the same process. Because there hasn't really been a target. Because the recruitment's been bad. The mindset's been bad. The winning mentality's been bad. All of it's been terrible. That's why we play well sometimes. We play crap sometimes. 22-game unbeaten run, fantastic. But when it really comes to playing Crystal Palace at home and Brighton at home to try and get 3 points in those to qualify for the Champions League, we couldn't get it done. This is what it boils down to. And I'm not saying Emery's a bad manager, because he's a very good manager. But at Arsenal at the present time, over the last 10 years, we have not been a club who have had a target and are ruthless at putting the processes in place to get it. That is it.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, the process is very similar to let's go back. 7 years. Where were Liverpool 7 years ago? Where were Liverpool?
I was just been saying that, Klopp. Yeah.
Where were they 8 years ago? They were miring at 8th, 9th, 7th, 6th. They kept fluctuating for 3 or 4 years. They got Brendan Rodgers in. He got them to a certain point, but then started to falter again. It took Liverpool 5 years, Rodgers and Klopp, to get here. But you have to also look before that. They had how many years outside in the wilderness?
But what had Klopp done in Germany before he even got to Liverpool? The difference between Klopp and Arteta is Klopp won things and took Borussia Dortmund to Champions League finals and was a very competitive manager.
It's not about the manager. It's about how they got there. It's about the selling off bad players, getting good return off of other transfers, like the selling of Suarez, like the selling of Coutinho, right? We're, because of the contracts that we've been saddled with, we can't do that. We can't make money. And, you know, look, there's players on our roster right now, young players, that within a year or two, we're going to sell for big money, and players, people will be upset about, but that's the model going forward for us. That's, they've talked about that, right? So it's not about the manager. It's about what you have to do to turn things around. And yes, a manager is a component of that. Will Mikel Arteta be the guy who wins us a title again? Who knows? It's all going to depend on how we rebuild everything else around him, right? It could be, he could be our Brendan Rodgers that takes us to a certain point, and then you have to bring in somebody else that takes you over the edge, right? That could be all part of the process. But the process is not 9 months. It's not 10 months after you sack Emery. And look, I just think Emery was a bad fit from the get-go. I just felt that it was never a right fit for Arsenal. I agree with Kevin. He's a good coach, but I just don't think he was the right fit for Arsenal and what Arsenal needed in.
And Arteta is the right fit for Arsenal.
At this point right now, I think because he understands the culture, and he understands that culture plays an important part.
Why is he so lauded? He was a captain for how many years? Why is this guy so protected and lauded? When you think about, and I want you to be fair here, Mike, mm-hmm. and I've asked Amanda and KC this question too, is, you know, if we're going to be really honest, Emery was vilified after the 22 unbeaten game run. And yes, before he got sacked, we were in terrible form in the Premier League. There's no doubt about it. There was a disconnect. He was also dealing with the Ozil situation, which no one paid attention to or gave him credit for. He's actually the first manager to put Ozil in his place and say to him, no, I'm not enabling you. And I don't like how you were enabled before. And that's not going to happen under my watch.
But it did, though. He literally went back in January and went back on his own decision.
Under pressure. I mean, you can't blame him.
No. There's fan pressure, maybe. But you know what? I think you were fading in and out. And I said, with Arteta's handling it, that's why Arteta hasn't brought him back in, is because he can't go back on that decision now.
I'm not talking about Ozil. I'm talking about the treatment of Emery as a manager versus Mikel Arteta.
One has
won three Europa Leagues and done well in La Liga. The other's done nothing other than be an assistant to a legendary manager. Okay, and yet we're giving Arteta the benefit of the doubt and time versus Emery.
Here's my criticism of Emery. What was our biggest problem pre-Emery besides our away form was awful, right? Pre-Emery, our away form was awful. And we hired a coach who went an entire La Liga season without winning a single away match. I'm sorry, that's the big flag for me. If you can't win in your supposed home league away at all in an entire season, you don't get the job at Arsenal, right? To me, that's the biggest – that was – when we signed him, I said this was a panic signing, right? Basically, two things happened. The story that I got was that before – we were ready to sign Arteta when Arsene Wenger went. And there was an interview with Arteta at the time who said, I'm not ready. I still think I have work to do at City. So when they got that from Arteta, they panicked. There was nobody for them. So they went to Emery, right? Now, this is what I'll say. This is why I'm okay with Arteta. Because I think there's a landscape right now littered with young managers who had no experience that are now being successful. And you have to look no further than Julian Nagelsmann at Red Bull, who, before he got the Hoffenheim job, was essentially a youth coach within the Hoffenheim setup. He had no experience, but he became one of the hottest prospects based on his tactical acumen at Hoffenheim. He went from being a nothing coach to taking on Hoffenheim in the Bundesliga. And I know people say, oh, it's Germany. Well, you know what? Look at what him now. And now Julian Nagelsmann, after his time, he's now got RBL challenging for the Bundesliga. He's got them challenging in the Champions League, and he's now being talked to about being one of the candidates to come in and take over any, like Man United, you hear him associated with. So that's why I have faith in Arteta, because I don't think that experience has anything to do with you as a manager nowadays. It has, it is earned and grown over time.
So
if you have the right philosophy and you can communicate that philosophy and you can get your players to buy into that philosophy and you get the right players to execute your philosophy, then you can be successful. And that's why that's why young coaches like Nagelsmann are being successful.
And I understand that. So here's a question for you and KC. We talk about the players. We talk about how they're uncoachable. Yet when they won the FA Cup, I bring this up again, they were very coachable to beat City and Chelsea. They were very coachable and everyone lauded them when we beat Man United in the league and Liverpool in the league and then Liverpool again in the Community Shield. So in those instances, everyone was happy and everyone was like, oh man, this is amazing. Everyone talks about Arteta wanting to play a 4-3-3. We've looked at a game this season where we think the Sheffield United game is the best example of how we were the most effective. He's set the team up now, and you look at Wolves where the midfield has to chase the game a little bit and protect the back four. So the players, Tierney came and was lauded. Gabriel came and was lauded. Aubameyang has been lauded. But now they're just overnight crap players.
No,
help me understand you guys.
Nobody said that. Who said that? I've always said, Sophie.
Tierney's been ripped on Twitter. Have you seen
Sophie. Listen, stick will fly about when the team ain't playing well. That's part and parcel of being a professional footballer. You will get stick when you're not winning games. That is part and parcel of it. As I've always said, it's not that this team doesn't have the talent, because they are talented footballers. The problem is, where is the mentality? They need a will to win, Sophie. When you're not playing well, can you dig in and get results? We are proving we can't. And yeah, previously past, they have responded to Arteta. But we're not talking about the past. We're talking about now. And right now, Arteta's job, and this is what he should be... he should get lambasted over. It's his job to find the right balance within the team. Yeah. 100%. I get that. And I'm with you on that 100%. But once those players cross the line, I keep hearing people talking about he sets them up wrong. No, when you're a player and you cross that line, it's your job to do your job. So if you're a creative player, it's your job to be creative. It's not the manager telling you don't create. It's not the manager telling you don't defend. It's not the manager telling the midfield to be all over the place. No. Everybody knows their job because they've done it before. The problem is upstairs. Their mentality isn't right, and it hasn't been right at Arsenal for 10 years.
Yeah.
This is what Arteta has to change.
It's kind of where we're looking at a process that I'll say this. I don't think any manager would have been successful. And going back to players, like the players didn't just suddenly become crap. Players do have, when you go through this, players go through bad spells. We just happen to be having pretty much everybody go through a bad spell at the same time. And it's bad. And on one level, you have to let players try and play through it. You can't obviously swap out the entire starting 11. And I don't think Tierney is as crap as anybody made him out to be. I mean, Adama Traore makes pretty much almost, when Adama Traore wants to play, he'll pretty much make any left back look ridiculous. And if you remember the last time at the end of the season last year against Wolves, when we won 2-1, I think it was Tierney who got the better of Traore in that game. So Traore's going to be fine. I mean, Tierney's going to be fine. I think he's going to ultimately, when his time here is done, we're going to be lauding his name. right? But you have to. It's the players didn't just become crap overnight. It's just there's a mentality issue that needs to be solved, and it is part and parcel of getting in the right players with the right mentality. I think Gabriel has the right mentality. I think Partey has the right mentality. I think Tierney has the right mentality. I'm not a big fan of Rob Holding, but I think he's got absolutely the right mentality, right? And that's why he's successful, right? I mean, those are the players right now. I just basically, and those are the four players I'm to me are, you keep Saka, you keep Pepe a little bit. I'm not sold on Pepe, but that's just me. But I think he still has something to show. Other than that, I'm like everybody else. If somebody comes in with an offer, and it's something that I can get, if it's a good value for, go for it. So, because I think that's the only way we get rid of this is if you get the right players in there with the right mentality, right? And then you start. And look, and like I said, Arteta may not be the final product by the time we get there. It may be somebody else, but it's a process that's going to take time. And I think we delayed the process by going with Emery after Wenger.
So, I mean, United had to make an appointment after Sir Alex Ferguson, and Sir Alex Ferguson chose David Moyes and he didn't work out, and that was Sir Alex Ferguson's choice. We chose Emery because he came with a dossier of having studied our players, and at the time everyone was super excited and they were like, wow, look what he's done. He's monitored and he's examined and he's done his homework on every single player. And then when it went pear-shaped after
the I think we were excited, Soph, because it wasn't Wenger. I think it would have been anyone just to have some change. I was very excited when I saw Emery at the little Arsenal do when he came in. He looked great. I just think that was excitement because it was someone different.
Yeah,
I think the right one.
I can see that. Sorry, Mike. Go on.
No, I agree with PG on that. I think there was a general, hey, you know what? This is something new. I want to see what happens. I don't think I was ever.
Was he really that bad? I mean, the way people talk about him is really
the last bit was kind of
disrespectful. Look,
I don't mean that as a negative about Arsene Wenger. It was 22 years of the same thing.
Talking about Emery. I think people have been disrespectful about Emery.
No, we're talking about the last bit of Wenger's reign.
I don't care about Wenger's reign. He destroyed the legacy that he left, and he left us in tatters, and we're now trying to pick up the pieces. Look what Gazid is doing at AC Milan. How do you explain that?
He's not doing it.
Oh, who's doing it then, mate? The manager, the players, Latan?
No, who's their actual president, right? Their sporting director right now.
I mean, come on. He's assembled the team.
No, he's not assembling the team. He's the CEO. The technical director is assembling that team, right? And they're getting backing. They're getting backing to do it. Ivan Gazidis, I'm sorry. I don't want to go down the Ivan Gazidis route, but the man was the deputy commissioner of the MLS before he took the Arsenal job. He had no business getting the Arsenal job, right? I'm sorry. He's awful.
You know what I'm sorry about, Mike? You know what I'm sorry about? And I'll we can close in a little bit here. And apologies again for the technical difficulties at the beginning of the game. But what I'm sorry about is that Arsenal fans can't accept a differing opinion. It's become a bit like politics in England and the US.
No,
fans cannot accept someone having a different opinion to you when it comes to Mikel Arteta.
No,
it's insane.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I have to go.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye, Soph.
Everyone, Michael, thanks for coming on. I did my best at the beginning to try and help, but
you smashed it. Well done, babe.
Anyway, I'll see you.
Well done.
Bye, everyone.
See you.
Quiet. I've only got 10 minutes myself. So, but here's what I'll say. So what was the question again? So
I'm just
the difference of opinion, differences of opinion, accepting it.
Look, you're absolutely right. And you know what, Soph, you and I have had disagreements before, but we still carry on being friendly with each other because we respect each other. Correct. And the sad part of social media is the fact that it amplifies louder negative voices that aren't necessarily the majority of the think. And because if you think about it, and look, I on my personal account, where I follow a lot of the U.S. politics, it's just awful. It's just awful. I don't engage on social media that much anymore, simply because I have an opinion. My opinion is mine. I respect you for yours. I don't need to get attacked for my opinion. You know, I would never be disrespectful to somebody else about their opinion. It's just awful. It sucks. And it's made, I go back to like 2012, before that, when I started on Twitter in 2008, and it was awesome. It was awesome to connect with everybody overseas. And we it was like being in a pub. The original, when I got on Twitter for the first time, meeting everybody, it was like being in a pub. We all kind of, we had our disagreements, but it was this. And then something happened about 2012 or so, and things just started getting uglier and uglier. And I think it's just at the point now where going online doesn't make any sense anymore.
Casey?
Look,
we disagree a lot on this. You and I disagree a lot.
We do. But we listen, it doesn't, what it never does, Sophie, it never stops us liaising, speaking, talking about it, and we'll still disagree on it, because you think Arteta's being lauded and I don't. You think Arteta has to take the blame, and I say something different. But that's, your opinion's valid, my opinion is valid. Every opinion is valid, because we're all looking at it in our own, through our own eyes. That's the way it is. I'm lucky enough, I've been blessed enough to be able to be on the inside. So I can only give you my honest opinion as a former player who's been in that dressing room. So that's all I can do. Of course, there's going to be people who disagree with me. But that's part and parcel. And you know what? Things might get toxic. Things might get toxic. But you know what? If it gets toxic, it gets toxic, because we all want Arsenal to improve. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. I think Jonathan just said it best. A lot of fun. Yeah. I think that's
right,
a great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, look, Mike, we're going to have to get you back, because love your thoughts, love your opinions. And again, apologies to everyone for the technical glitch at the start of the show. We'll get Mike back on, because Mike is a professional referee. He's a coach. He is ingrained in the game at grassroots level here in the United States. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. When it comes to tactical prowess and understanding and reading the game, Mike is definitely one of those guys. And this is one of the reasons why I had him on the show today. I didn't get to get through my entire agenda to get that mindset from you a bit more, Mike. But we're going to have you on maybe in a few weeks, where we see how this shakes out, and we can get you and KC to kind of go at it from, because I had the kind of players versus system. Because Casey's always talked about system over the last few weeks versus
No. I've said the players, remember?
Yeah,
the players. It doesn't matter what system you play, it's about the players.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we have to have that conversation.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of wanted to get you guys together as well. So, and agree, Master Gunner, great guest input. We love Mike. He's really, really good with his stuff, and thank you again. We'll put this up. It's going to be available on replay right away. We'll be back tomorrow for
Kevin says
and a Q&A. It's going to be
Arsenal
a real
and the truth
one. Arsenal, yes. And the truth, which means that Kevin and I are probably going to disagree. Again,
hey guys, thank you for having me. So if you know it's always a scheduling issue. But now that I'm working from home all the time, I can pretty much.
I know. I love that. And Mike, I love your insights. Real quick, Spurs prediction from you, Mike. Everyone wants to hear that.
Early prediction, 2-2 draw.
Okay. All right. A draw is a pretty good thing, right, Casey?
I'm sure we'll take a point. We want to win, but we'll take a point.
Yeah, you know,
I want to get spanked.
I the reason that it says I think Arteta is better at setting us up for the bigger games than the littler games right now. Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking.
All right, okay. Until then, KC, what's the word?
You know, we all love you. Come on, you Gunners, up the Arsenal.